for leading in music, and we gave Ruth and Gloria a break. I can't believe they would tear their air down just to get a break like that. It's all here together. I'm sure it was Ruth. Gloria's too sweet. No, I appreciate everybody here, and appreciate y'all crowding together, and hope everybody got deodorant on, and you don't have to worry about whether I do or not. I'm up here. So there you have it. That's right. You got to be reminded of everything. From whose daughter is who to you name it. Turn the mic on and the offering plate's over here. And we decided, Ruth said that I'll pray in the close. And you get up as you put your money in here. If it's not enough, if you'll just circle around and sit back down, I'll do another sermon. So we're having a love offering. I'd love to see you turn your offering in. No, but if you're giving this morning, instead of passing the plates up and down, just you can give right here and as you leave, and we thank you for it. I know the church appreciates it, and we appreciate it. And again, y'all remember Steve as he's away today. Charlie Fouché will be speaking tonight, so we will have service tonight also. This morning I'm going to be talking about, there's so many people today that, and so many different religions, and so many different things that go on, and so many people's opinions. And you know, this time of year, when from politics to money to you name it, it's all turned into pretty much entertainment, I believe. I believe the media and the news is making more money than anybody in this, because they are certainly. And you know, I'm sitting here telling you, and I'm like stuck to it. And listen, I mean, I'm as bad as anybody about it. But there's a lot of people today that love to share their opinion, not based on wisdom of the Word of God, but wisdom of the world. And one of the things that I heard talked about a while back was those that deny the resurrection of Christ. Just because there are many that deny the resurrection of Christ, that doesn't mean it didn't happen. We can deny a lot of things, but the truth is the truth. And so this morning, as we open our Word, go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, the Word of God says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you." Now the issue here in chapter 15 is that there are some people that are denying the resurrection if you study this whole chapter. In fact, if you will, go to verse 35. Verse 35, the same chapter. 1 Corinthians 15, 35. The Word says, "But some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come?" Notice how he answers in the next verse. "Thou fool, thou which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die." You know, nature tells us itself, nature alone tells us itself that there is a resurrection. The seasons alone can show you the picture of a resurrection, right? Nature itself shows it. The whole creation tells the truth of God and God's Word and His life, etc. And I mean, you can just see it just through the seasons, through the flowers, through the grass. Of course, right now, my grass needs to be resurrected. Let me tell you. Bad. But in 1 Corinthians, in 15, Paul is making a point that for followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the resurrection is part of what we believe. Without it, without the resurrection, do you realize this morning we are wasting our time here? Without the resurrection, there would be no value in why we're here at all. You can find the tomb of Muhammad. You can find the tomb of Buddha. You can find the tomb of any religious leader that the world has ever followed. But you cannot of the Lord Jesus, because people went there after 3 days. Angels were there to say He isn't there, that He is risen. And if you could find it, then today you would still be in your sins. Do you realize without the resurrection today, we would be here in our sins. The issue and the value of the Lord Jesus Christ is to deliver us from sin and to give us life. The resurrection is the key part of that. In fact, back up a little bit and go to verse 9 in the same chapter. 1 Corinthians 15:9. Notice what Paul says. For I am the least of the apostles that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. Now, those they that are there, you would find in verse 5 through 8. So let's back up and see who he's talking about. And in verse 5 of chapter 15, he says, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. So the issue here is not, we're not just talking about the Apostle Paul. There were many, many, many that saw Christ resurrected. And he showed himself to these, and over 500. And so that's why Paul says what we read, therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. He's reminding these people of Corinth what they believed and what they were told, and by proofs. The issue with right division and with the dispensation of the grace of God and the revelation of the mystery, there's not the argument of whether there was a resurrection or not. The resurrection happened and it was proven. So that was not the issue. But the resurrection is very important to all mankind. From one dispensation to the other, the resurrection had to happen or we would be in our sins. So whether it's them or I, no matter which one, so we preach, is what he says. We preach that Christ was raised from the dead, and so we believe. The resurrection of Christ is a common truth of everything with anyone that followed the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of dispensation. It's a critical issue. We should celebrate this every day. You realize that is something that when we get up in the day that we should focus on is the fact of the resurrection of Christ. Because that is based on where our eternity rests. We should count every day the same, I believe. It's not whether it's Sunday or Monday or Wednesday or whether you go somewhere at a Bible study on Thursday. The issue of the resurrection is something that we ought to celebrate every day. It's not a once a year or a once a week thing. Many make it a once a year thing, and you have all kinds of people come. I find it a little awkward to celebrate this once a year at the same time we or most celebrate a pagan holiday. That's when they celebrate. That's when you hear it preached. You don't hear it preached much more any other time. People have managed to mix religion and tie it with a pagan holiday. And actually, to me, that would be dishonorable. Wouldn't you think, as a body of believers? The fact we should celebrate resurrection every day. Resurrection was what was accomplished, and we see that proven through the Word. We don't go to a building to find God, do we? We don't go to a religious ceremony to find God. You find God through the Lord Jesus Christ. You find God by trusting the one that He gave you to be your Savior, the one who is in connection with Him. In fact, go with me to Ephesians chapter 3 and look at verse 6. Ephesians 3:6. The Apostle Paul says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel. The gospel here is what we just read. If you go back, I don't mean for you to go back and forth, but it's important that we see it. The gospel, that we are partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, again, look at verse 3 and 4. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. Paul says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." The very essence of what the resurrection is about would be the great thing that God sent us through His Son. He died for our sins. The first assumption of the gospel is that you are a sinner. We talked about that earlier. The issue of grace is to know that we are a sinner. The gospel starts with what? Our failure. It starts with my failure. It starts with your failure. The gospel isn't for you to be perfect and then you're going to be accepted. The gospel is the fact that you're a sinner, and based on you being a sinner, God, Jesus Christ, on your behalf, died for you. The gospel is the fact that you aren't perfect. The gospel is the fact that you are a failure. The gospel is the fact that Christ says, "I've come to rescue you." So the good news of the gospel starts actually with our failure. And we have to recognize that we are a failure without the gospel. Amen? Not with being perfect. So many people today want to show you a certain way to be able to come to a certain point in your life as if you can earn your salvation by what Christ did. The fact of you earning your salvation is the fact that you can't earn anything. And because of His resurrection and what Christ did on our behalf, paying our price, is the fact that it's because we are failures and God knew it. If you could be perfect, then Jesus could have stayed home. You can't be perfect, and you aren't. Christ died for our sins. It starts with the issue that if He died for all, then all were dead. So when those who have run from religion because they feel they aren't good enough, because trust me, in religion today, we were talking about earlier this morning, in fraternities all across the place today, there are a lot of people that walk in that are looking for something, that are lost, and they grasp religion a lot of times, and they follow the rules and the regulations, and guess what happens? They always come out to realize they're not good enough. There's always somebody better. Or there's always somebody that thinks they are better. I've been there, more than not. You know, when those who have run from religion because they feel like they aren't good enough, we can tell them they are absolutely right. They aren't. May put them in shock, but it's the truth. There are denominations and cults everywhere that people have left because they feel like they cannot do it. And they can't. That should be good news. In the same manner that we celebrate resurrection every day, and we're reminded that without it, we would be lost in our sins. That's good news. They're probably actually closer than most. You get what I'm saying? Those that leave it and realize they can't do it, they're probably closer than most. I don't think you can be so close. I mean, you're saved or you're not, so don't get me wrong. But the fact is at least they recognize it. They can't be good enough. Have you ever taken the time to ask someone what it takes to have their sins forgiven? So many people believing it's confessing all their failures. That's what a lot of people believe. So the gospel that we read starts at the point of our failure. And you know what it does? When we're at the point of our failure and we recognize it, it's the one thing that carries us into life. It doesn't require... You have the life. it says you don't have it, I'll give it to you as a gift. There's no requirement or something you have to do. In fact, go with me to Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Romans 5, 8. In Romans 5, 8, the word says, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." In 1 Corinthians 15, when he preached the gospel, look at what he said. He said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand." Stand on that. Stand on the fact of what Christ did on our behalf. It is that same message that he preached after they got saved. Because let's remind ourselves, the letter that he wrote in Corinthians, those were people that he wrote to that were saved. He's reminding them of the message. We need not make the mistake that he was telling this to lost people. A lot of people read the scripture as if this is that one scripture that we give just to lost people. Now don't get me wrong, there were people that probably heard the letter or read the letter that were lost. But who was Paul writing to? He was reminding these Corinthians people of who they were. He is saying this also to the Corinthian saved people. In fact, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, the Apostle Paul says, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Well, what do believers do? They don't get saved from the cross work of Christ and move on. They stand in that. They stand on that truth. It's not like, well, I got it now. They stand on believing in that. That's by which ye stand. That's where we live. All of our possessions and spiritual life come from the gospel. Through His cross and His resurrection. You know what? We can't get deep enough in that. Do you realize? As simple as it sounds, and you know, there's always somebody that says there's got to be more, but you can't get deep enough in the fact of Him forgiving us for our sins, dying on that cross and being resurrected. You can't get deep enough. And no Christ understood what the weight of life is about. I believe he knew what it was about, the weight of sin. God made him sin. He bore our sorrow. He bore our grief. He bore our failure. And when I think about this, I think about in my life, when I think about the things in my life that have grabbed me, if I look back at my failures and the things in my life, the things that, you ever had anything that just hurts your gut, twists you up, if you think about it long enough, you think about things, I can't believe that's who I was, that's who I'm. I'll think about how I wouldn't want anyone else to know about those things. We all have our own private things. He bore those. Christ bore those. The weight of them. It's real. It's not an imagination, as some would think. While a sinner, he bore the weight of the love of God. You weren't trying to fix things when you didn't care anything about them, were you? No. While in that condition, he died for you and for me. Now that's God's love. He went to Calvary and died for you. The wages of sin is death. He took your death. He took the wages of what you deserve. He took the separation of God and the consequences of your sin. He suffered that for you because that was God's love manifesting itself. There are a lot that don't like this topic. Trust, there are a lot that don't like it. Many, many. just as the issue of the wrath of God. There's a lot of people that don't like that topic either. But is it still real? Absolutely. You know God's love will never let you go. It will never let you down, and it will never it's the one thing that will never disappoint you. But you know His love will also not let you off. The issue of justice had to be settled, right? When you see the love of God in action against sin, that's what you're seeing when you see also the wrath of God. Look at the description of humanity in its fallen state. That would be you and me without Christ. Go to Romans 3:18. Romans 3:18. There is no fear of God before their eyes. It's as if God is being judged and they are the judge. As if God's on trial. Think about it. I tell you what, go back to Romans chapter 3. Look at verse 3. Look what he says. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? That's like what I said earlier. Just because somebody said the resurrection didn't happen, does that mean it just didn't happen? Think about those and think about us and those that are lost. He says in 18, there is no fear of God before their eyes. They don't have a fear of the wrath of God. Those that are lost, they don't have a fear of the wrath of God. And he says, for what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief, this is verse 3, shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. God says to the lost, you have it backwards. He is the judge. Whether you like it or not, that's who He is. You know, those who are not saved, they seem to fear the wrong thing today. Those people who are not saved today, think of the fear and all that goes out in the world today. I mean, what's the main topic? People today have more fear of ISIS. They have more fear of terrorism, or whether you should have a gun or not. They're more feared over the things in this world. And that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be concerned. That doesn't mean we should be flippant and not care. But it's the fact that they put more weight on what they're living for today than they do of the wrath of God. Well, a lot of people we talked about earlier, it's amazing how we get mad at the world. We got to remember the world as a whole is lost. We were those people before we knew the truth. Right? We should not be that surprised. It's as if we get up every day and we're shocked that somebody says something or wants to make something a law, or as if things should just be just like how we feel. Oh, let me tell you, it ain't going to work out that way. I mean, I can see such a difference, and I know I've been told this for years and years from my teens all the way up to where I'm at now in my 20s. That I'm just a joke. I'm really not 20. I'm 30. But people today are, it's amazing the things that just wait. And now it's as if things just are exploding. They're going so fast to what the world wants. What the world wants. This world doesn't fear God. They don't know God. That's why we celebrate resurrection by what we know daily. We ought to be excited. We ought to rejoice in the fact of what we have in Christ and what we know in Christ this morning. We should be excited because we know this world, we can't keep this world from going to hell, because that's exactly what's going to happen. Just because we say it ain't don't mean it isn't. So you know those who are not saved, they fear the wrong thing today. You think ISIS is bad. Can you imagine dying without Christ? I mean, think about that. Can you imagine if the resurrection did not happen? What we would be in search of? Can you imagine those who have been taught to believe that the resurrection didn't happen? They don't need to worry about terrorism or whether they're going to have enough money to feed their family. They don't need to worry about those things because the Spirit lives forever. Amen? Our eternity needs to be sure. Think about that. Where will they spend eternity should be their issue. Think of those who have grown up in different areas all their life and have just been taught wrong. And the fact of our responsibility as an ambassador of Christ to share the truth of sound doctrine so that they will know. The love of God will execute the justice of God also. We can look at the love of God and see what He did, what Christ did for us on our behalf, right? But you know, understanding that there's the love of God also, again, executes justice too. I'm so thankful when God sees me, He doesn't see me. Of all the things in my past and all the things that I've done, all the things I've shaken my own head at, and all the times I've spent my life working and trying to be a good person and finally coming to the knowledge that Christ and what He did on my behalf by forgiving me my sins, dead and buried and resurrected. It's an extremely important part of the death and the burial. He was resurrected. And just as we are dead, we are alive by His resurrection. But the love of God will execute the justice of God. It also will execute what else? The most important thing. Just because the love of God will execute the justice of God, it will also execute the grace of God. By seeing the justice of God, we understand what the grace of God is. The grace of God steps in where the justice of God does not. Do you get that? That's where the grace of God steps in. When we recognize who we are as alone in Adam, and we understand who God is and what He expects, then we see the grace of God. And guess what we're not given? The spirit of fear. Amen? Because we see the grace of God. We rejoice in that. So the wisdom of God says, I have a plan. The justice of God can't save you because you can't measure up. And I know a lot of people say, gosh, man, I walk out here, he called me a failure 30 times. You know, that's something you can laugh about when you understand the grace of God. That's something when I go through the week and I look at myself and I said, I can't believe I thought that. Or I can't believe I just did that. Or I just said, you ever walk away, you say something, you think, I can't believe it. You know, those are the things that, although we know our human nature and what we're capable. I'm not the only one here now. Okay? We know what we are capable of. And let me tell you, when I look at what I'm capable of, it's ugly. It's bad. In the flesh, it's bad. Even growing up and trying to be, quote, the good kid, the thoughts and the sneakiness and just my nature of being in Adam, I mean, you know, I know who I was and I have that understanding. And the justice of God, God's justice, understanding who He is and what he won't put up with and what He won't look at and what He put His Son through, that justice will never save you because you can never measure up to it. The justice of God says it must be paid. and Christ paid it. Because He's the only one that could pay it. He was the perfect sacrifice for us. For us knowing, I mean, what does the law tell us we are? The law tells us you can't do it. It told Israel they couldn't do it. And if anybody tried, or, I mean, let's face it, if you read it all, the Old Testament, the things that they did, I'd have ran away a long time ago. I mean, honestly, it's amazing. It's amazing. You can't measure up. The justice of God says it must be paid. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks, or whether somebody says, well, I know what you say, but I believe this. It really doesn't matter. What did we read a while ago? All men are liars. God is truth. And when God says justice must be paid, it was paid through His Son. That's why we rejoice about the resurrection. Not just once a year, but every day. Do you ever get up and just think that justice was paid for you? Justice of God must be paid, but the wisdom of God said, I have a plan. Think about it. Go to Romans chapter 3. I think you're already there in verse 24. Romans 3:24. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Not in you, the redemption, what He paid for, the justice, is in Christ Jesus. Being justified freely, you did nothing to earn it, by His grace, that's the plan, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. See, the issue is believing in Jesus and not yourself is salvation. Nothing you have to do but trust in who He is and what He did. In closing, go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. I just think it makes the Scripture so much more beautiful when we understand that justice has to be done, and it was done. And Paul says to these people of Corinth, he's writing to those who were believers. Right? It's just as important that we read today, and it stands today. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Do you stand on that today? If you do, we can laugh at the fact that we're failures, because we can rejoice in the fact of what Christ did on our behalf. Amen? Let's close in prayer. God, we thank You for today, for Your love and Your mercy. So thankful that as we open Your Word, that we recognize what it says and what You have done on our behalf. Thankful that we can recognize who we are and who You are and what You have done on our behalf. I pray this morning if somebody is here that has just seen this for the first time, that they would rejoice in the fact that their salvation is true by trusting in what you have done. Dying for us, forgiving us for our sins, and showing life through your resurrection power. We give you all the glory. In your name we pray. Amen.